Take our Bibles and turn over to Luke 19. Luke 19. And as we look in Luke 19 this evening, again, we're entering Jerusalem, 48 verses, 1,047 words, this chapter at a 5.2 grade level. And as we look in this tonight, we're going to pick up reading at verse 28. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 28, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if a man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." I want to preach to you on something tonight that I got two titles for, a long one and a short one. I'll give you the short one. This is for the video screen up there and on the little thing you fill out for a title for something. This does not make sense. This does not make sense. And what I'm really going to preach on that's going to reflect that title is this: what to do when God gives you a task that does not make sense. There have been times in the Bible when God would tell somebody to do something and it made no sense. He might have told you to do something that made no sense. Just imagine this. It has never rained before. You've never seen a drop of rain. It's never rained on planet Earth, anywhere on this planet. And then one day, God looks upon the wickedness of man and sees it's very great. One guy in Genesis 6:8 finds grace in the eyes of God. I don't know what the population was, but I'm sure that one person in the eyes of so many was a very big difference. Yeah. And he goes to that one person that found grace in his eyes and said, I want you to build me this thing called an ark. Not a boat, an ark, because it's got to contain a lot of stuff. You got to put two of each animal, five of certain ones, so forth like that. Oh, and the people that's going to believe you and come in here. Now, here's the part that don't make sense. It wasn't built near any water. There probably wasn't none to build it towards.
Right.
And the craziest thing was, is that when he told him to do this, the Bible said by faith he done it. Can you imagine the skepticism out of his own family, his friends, and everybody around him, and the mocking that must have went on while he built a boat up the side of a mountain where there was no water? It's going to rain, he would preach on. They said, that's foolish. We've never seen that before in our lives. But yet he built it. And then he said this, after he got the thing built, God didn't tell him to go into the ark. In Genesis 7:1, he said, come into the ark. God was the first passenger. He brought Noah in, and the Bible said he brought all the animals in, and then he sealed the door himself. The door was so sealed that when the rain did come, nobody could get in or out of it. And when the rain finally quit, and then the waters assuaged, and the earth was like in its present form right now, the Bible said they had to take the covering and go out the top because they couldn't get back through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Once you enter in, there's no going back out. You're his. Only way out's up, thank God. And that doesn't make sense. When he tells Jonah, there's a city of Gentiles over there, 1.6 million people. Jonah, I want you to go preach what I tell you to preach to them. Sure thing, Lord, and he heads the opposite direction. It doesn't make sense why he done that when he was, listen to this, well, if God would just speak to me, then I'd do what he said. He spoke to him personally. And he went the opposite direction. Don't hand me that stuff. If God will tell me I do it, you won't. You'll run like a scalded rabbit. It's that rebellion that's built up in you. You say, I can't do that. You know why you won't do it? It don't make no sense.
Yep.
One versus 1.6 million. A Jew versus 1.6 million Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He got out there in the boat, thought he had escaped scot-free, and the craziest thing happened. A storm came. It got so bad, they woke him up and said, what's going on? You the only guy out here we don't know. Well, I'm kind of a backslid prophet. Kinda? What do you mean kinda? We're going to cast lots. They cast lots. The lots fell on Jonah. They said, we know how to fix this problem and get that weather stopped. Jonah said, I do too. He said, if you throw me overboard, it'll quit. They tossed him.
Yep.
Seemingly to his death. That didn't make sense, did it? God still had 1.6 million people to reach. And guess what? Here come the great fish. Got him. Mm-hmm. Took him all the way down to the bottom. And about 3 days later, guess what happened? Jonah's down there getting right with God and says, salvation is the Lord. He started preaching right. Guess what? It made the animal sick. He spit him up on the shore.
Amen.
You know what he did? Bleached clothes and bleached skin and bleached hair from that stomach acid and all the stuff that's in his stomach. He walks and walks 8 days through that city. It was so big it took him 8 days to walk through it. And he's preaching that the Lord is going to take care of that city and judgment's fixing to fall. Craziest thing. It didn't make any sense. Now 1.6 million people get right with God. Greatest revival in the Bible, by the way. If we're going to measure revival by the number of conversions, that's the greatest one. That tops Pentecost by about 1,000%, I think it is. Probably more. I'm not good with math. But we see all kinds of things like that that don't make any sense. And I just read you verses 28 down to verse 40. Where they're going to do something here that's not going to make any sense. And number one thing they do is follow the direction of the Lord. Look at verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Why did he send all 12 of them? Well, this is a two-man job. What did he want them to do? He wanted them to go do one particular thing. When God gives you a task to do, it's not for your place to find out if it makes sense on paper. It's got to make sense on these papers right here.
Amen.
It's got to be God telling you to do it. And what he's asking them to do, we're going to get into it in a minute, is one of the strangest requests outside of building an ark or going to preach to a bunch of people of another race, 1.6 million people that already hate your guts before you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that you hate them in return. That was what Jonah's problem was, by the way. He hated Gentiles.
Right.
And when we do that, when we say we're going to follow the direction of the Lord, that's the first thing we do when things don't make sense. You say, is there a Bible for that? There is. It's Psalm 37, verse 23. You ought to pray that every day before you take your first step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You need to understand that God wants you to follow him, even when it don't make sense. There are some times you're going to get up and pray and everything's going to make sense. The sun's going to shine bright and God's going to point out a clear lit path for you to go on. But there's going to be sometimes God's going to give you things to do that don't make any sense and all you've got is the Bible for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this world says? I wouldn't do that. 2 plus 2 isn't 4. Oh, it is 2 plus 2 equals 4, but here's the thing. Let's say if you've never heard that before in your life. Would 2 plus 2 still equal 4? I mean, you've never heard it before. Let's say you've never heard that before. What's that famous equation, that 3.14? Is that pi? Is that what that is?
No.
You know, I've never understood that thing. Oh, and by the way, I don't care. It's never come up my checkbook one time.
That's right.
When I was a supervisor on a job one time, I figured about his hours up. It never came up then.
Mm-hmm.
Done my taxes a few times. It never came up then. It don't make any sense to me. But if God told me to take 3.14 and do with it what they did on that paper, I'd go do it and never complain about it. Because I figured out something. It don't have to make sense to me. God wants me to be obedient, not knowing everything. That's his job.
Mm-hmm.
If he'll do his job and I'll do mine, the will of God can be accomplished.
Right.
But it's got to be because I follow him even when it don't make sense. You follow the direction of the Lord. Do you know there's been times in my Christian life I've walked out and did things for the Lord and it didn't make any sense, but I did it anyway and come to find out, look back on it, it was the perfect will of God.
Right.
Nothing strange, nothing like walking on water or anything like that. Just simple daily things in my life that worked out perfect. Another one is this one. If you look down at verse number 30, he says, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which you are, at which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Hither, it says. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. You not only follow the direction of the Lord, but you also follow the distribution of the Lord. Can I give you a Bible verse that makes no sense to you right now? Maybe some of you and others of you are going to think it makes perfect sense. Listen to this. It's Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That don't make any sense until you have to live it. Do you understand that?
Amen.
I think about Brother Fain. Brother Fain, listen to this. He hides it very well, but he's a college educated man that has a trade. Learned it down there at Limestone College. From what I understand, Sister Shelby said he was pretty good at it too. Is that right, brother? He was pretty good at that. Now, when I say I'm not good at math, he was. Or is, I'm sorry. I wonder what happened to him when God said, don't you go be a missionary. Wonder how that looked on paper. You got to have this much to live. Oh, and you got to find it somewhere. And you got to pray and ask God to open all the doors
right.
From a bunch of ignorant pastors that don't know anything, don't know about missions, don't even know how the thing works. They've just heard somebody talk about it. And somebody said mission starts at home, so they won't even help him. But you know what God did? God said, I'll supply all your need according to the riches of the Lord by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know what he had to do? Go out and do all that. We was here and watched Jason do it. Brother Jason went out and he went out and said, I believe God's called me to the prisons. You know what all they said when he called pastors? We glad God called you instead of us.
Yeah.
That's the one mission field that's the most confusing one. Everybody in there wants to get out. Nobody wants to get in and help them guys. I had a preacher boy here one time said, I want to go preach. I said, go, Brother Kershaw. I don't want to go there. Well, I got another idea. Let's go to the street corner and preach. Well, I don't want to go there either. It's hot out there or it's cold or whatever it is outside right now. Yeah. They got air conditioning over the joint. By the way, when you hear me say the joint, I'm talking about the prison. It's not the correctional institute to me. That's the joint. Listen, that's the real bad place, by the way. I mean, listen, ain't nobody knocking down the doors trying to get in there. And all them guys that lie to you and say, well, when I got out, I did something to get back in. No, they got caught. They weren't trying to get back in.
Yeah.
But you know what you got over there? Listen to this. You'll like this part. You got a captive audience.
Right.
If they don't ever come to service, they will eventually.
Yep.
God's got a way of getting them in there.
Mm-hmm.
I found out a while back, though, that even though everybody wants him to go, they don't want to support him to go. Ain't that crazy? You won't go, but you won't pay somebody else to go. Sitting on thousands of mission dollars won't even help the man out. So what'd you do? We ordained him and sent him in there. And when he lets us, we all go in. We've been in there for several Christmas parties. So how'd that work out? Well, it worked out good, I thought. I mean, free chicken, what more, and preaching, what more can you get? It's like almost having homecoming or something. You know what? I couldn't get them to go in before, but I offered free chicken and all that stuff. Then all of a sudden, we want to go too. No, you can't go now. It's too late. We can't sign you up. You just can't go walking in there.
Right.
You got to be approved before you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go in because you like chicken, amen. Listen, you got to go in there because it's God's will.
Right.
And you got to do things orderly. So that don't make sense. Exactly. I wonder tonight if somebody said, well, what do you mean the distribution of the Lord? Look at those verses again. He says in verse 30, you shall find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. I don't know if you've ever fooled horses, donkeys, mules, or any of that stuff. You try to jump on one of them, man, they never sat on before and tell me how it works out for you. You'll find a new meaning to the word kick. I watch them things on the YouTube and stuff like that on TV over the years. I'm thinking for a horse, I think the term's called breaking a horse. Is that right? I believe you got to do that with these animals too. And one of the crazy things about them is this type of animal is more stubborn than a horse, and he's really going to kick the fire out of you.
Yep.
You know what Jesus said? I want one nobody's ever sat on.
Yep.
That don't make sense. But you know what he's showing right there? He's showing you something that don't make sense when you follow his distribution instead of what makes sense to you.
Right.
And it says that if any man asks you, this is the part that really gets me, if any man asks you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Let's say tonight I show up at your house, I don't know, hour after we leave here. And you say, come on in. I come on in. Or let's say you're not there at all and your door's unlocked and I walk on in anyway. Everybody good so far?
Amen.
You show up and there I am. So what are you doing? Well, I had to make me a sandwich. I was hungry. Why did you do that? I say, because the Lord told me to. Does that make any sense to you? Somebody's done talking about, I get my shotgun. You ain't getting nothing. It's me, not somebody you don't know. But you'd trust me, right? What if it's somebody you've never seen before? And they said, the Lord said. You know how it makes sense to you? Not to the guy doing it, but to you that had to provide it. God would have already told you to give it to him.
Yeah.
You on your way home, you know somebody's coming and they need a sandwich and they hungry. God's already spoke to you about it, about taking care of them. You get there and they've already ate the sandwich. You wouldn't have a problem one with it, would you? I mean, if it happened just like that. God told you, you showed up and they've already ate the last sandwich in the house. I'm good with that. You know why? Because that verse, listen, that verse works like this too. If that's your last sandwich, you better believe a pizza's on the way that you didn't order.
Amen.
That's how good God is.
Amen.
You mean, let me break this down for you?
Amen.
When I first got in the ministry, I thought everybody would love me. They hated me. Say, well, you preach mean. I didn't preach mean then. I didn't know anything to preach back then. All I had was like John 3:16 and a couple other things. That's all I had. And they hated my guts. And they tried to starve me to death. Y'all believe that? You know what God said to do? Go down there and preach anyway.
Amen.
Lord, get awful hungry down here. Ding dong. Is this 107 Brown Street? It sure is. This is you for you. What was it? My favorite kind of pizza. One that's for me that's free.
Amen.
I found it's real easy to call and say, I got a baby needing food. They'll bring anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got to get out and pray, Lord, send me something.
Yep.
You can call all you want to. You know, say, go get you a job. Well, you can't get a job right then.
Yep.
And I had one.
Yep.
Barely bought my gas to get down here. You know what God did? He'd send food. There was this lady who was a social worker that helped out with Justin early on, showed us how to get all these programs set up for him and therapists and all this other stuff. She come by one day with five bags of groceries. And I ain't talking about your little Walmart bags. I'm talking about a poke. You know, I'm talking about them brown ones. And she come in with all that stuff. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, I felt like God wanted me to bring y'all some groceries. I said, what a coincidence. I've been here praying for my needs all day long, and that was on the list. I only asked for two, though. Didn't have my sight set high enough.
Come on.
It don't make sense. But yet God does what he does. He wants you to follow his distribution plan. Say, is that in the Bible? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yeah.
Since there's none of them here, and I can say this with a clear conscience, you know what's wrong with most pastors right now? They're trying to figure out how to make a living instead of how to have them make a ministry.
Come on.
They're trying to hang on to a job. The longer they hang on that job, they say that, and then they'll get, listen, and God forbid you go to a preacher's fellowship and one of them guys preaches to you and tell you how, well, I got to work, bless God. No, you don't. You've got a job right there at that church. Three times a week, you get three red-hot messages together, preach what thus saith the Lord is, and pray every day for everybody in that church. I don't care if you run 10 or you run 1,000, it's your job to do it. God put you there for it. He put you there to pray, preach, and win souls, and do all that, and give out the gospel everywhere you go. And listen, most people, they ain't got the faith to follow that. But they're not pleasing God. They're trying to please their wife, or trying to please their mother-in-law, or trying to... Y'all getting awful quiet in here.
Come on.
Listen, I preached that my mother-in-law was alive. And listen, she's in heaven shouting me on now. She shouted me on while she's here. Except when I said that neighbor on the other side was a better neighbor than her. She'd go, and she'd back her electric wheelchair up and knock the holes in the wall back there. But you got to follow the direction of the Lord, the distribution of the Lord, how He gives out things. And then you got to follow the decision of the Lord. Look at verse 32. Now He's told them what to do, told them how to do it, told them where to go to get it done. And in verse 32 He says, and they that were sent went their way and found even as He had said unto them. What a shock. He told them to go over and look for it, and there it was.
Yep.
You ever have God tell you to go do something? You get there and it's just like God laid it out there for you. And as they were loosing the colt, here it comes, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? Can you hear this in the background? Why loose ye the colt? They probably had a bow and arrow, though, or something, or a sword. Why loose ye the colt, you know? You heard, shing, you know. It says, and they said, the Lord hath need of him. Fine, take him. Like I said, you say, yeah, I need Bible for you to prove that. That's not written in that passage. How about Acts chapter 9 where God saves a man that's out trying to kill all the Christians, and while He's saving him, He's over here dealing with Ananias. And Ananias, there's a guy over there. I want you to go touch and heal him and put your hands on him and heal him. He's blind. Yeah. Why, sure, Lord. Who is he? Saul of Tarsus. Lord, now, you know, that man's got a lot of warrants out on everybody's Christians.
Yep.
He began to doubt, back up. God said, go do it. He said, for he's my servant now. Well, Ananias is a pastor. He realized what it's to see somebody come from death to life that used to be of the devil's crowd and be of the religious crowd and see him get saved and change. So he went right over there.
Yeah.
And what was so bad is he wasn't stuck with him for a day. He stuck with him for 3 years after that.
Wow.
Imagine this. You baptized the Apostle Paul, but he is Saul of Tarsus and nobody wanted him.
Yeah.
That's kind of like some of y'all. Ain't nobody want you. The devil didn't even want you. You get saved, and I say, come to my church.
Yeah.
We got a youth program. You be over it even. Well, when I was lost, you didn't want nothing to do with it. Yeah, well, the Lord saved you. I'm going to bring you in the family. You already in the family.
Yeah.
Well, that don't make sense for you to stay where you at. Exactly. It don't have to. Brother Umberg, that preached here a few weeks ago, I've told you this story before. There's a big old church trying to get me and him to come there. They wanted a package. I didn't realize what was going on at the time, but what they was wanting to do was add about 15 to their church. Between my family and his family, they'd been 15 and double what they had. So what was they wanting you to do? They was wanting him to be over the Christian school and be the associate pastor and me be the pastor. I didn't know it, but I made a book that year. I was in the who is. I just old was, but I was who is now. Apparently, when you get an earned doctorate, they put you in that book every year. They got a list of them people. I forget which year it was, because I don't care. They wanted to sell me that book, watch this, and it was $100. So yeah, I didn't want to, listen, even I went, I thought, you want to get a name, you want to buy this book with my name in it and me pay you $100. I need you to pay me $100 for putting my name in that book. That's how that works. I know there's going to be somebody write me and say, no, that's really not. We're working on my dime right now. And I didn't have $100 to give them. We'd done paid everything in tuition and graduation fees. I hadn't nothing left to buy another book. I was through buying books. And they contacted us. They saw that. And they called him. They called me and all this other stuff. And I called him up one night. I said, brother, I think that'd be against the will of God. He said, I think the same thing. There's something wrong that we're not seeing here. Boy, when it come out, Lord have mercy. It's like being dealt up with the mafia or something. But don't worry. Numbers says over there, he said, be sure your sins will find you out. God found them all out.
Mm-hmm.
So what about all that thing? It didn't make sense to us. He knew a lot about Christian school. I had all that stuff about pastoring. It worked out perfect for us. But it didn't make sense. We supposed to stay where we at.
Right. Amen.
Now watch this. Here's the other part that don't make any sense here. See, we follow the direction of the Lord. We're following the distribution of the Lord. Now we follow the decision of the Lord. He said He sent them their way, found it, said unto them, it said, and they said, the Lord hath need of him, verse 34, verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus. And here's the part right here. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he has come nigh, even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You follow the decision of the Lord because he said, I'm going into Jerusalem. Remember, he's supposed to go in there and suffer, bleed, and die. None of them agree with it, by the way. None of them. There wasn't one of the 12 disciples thought he should do that.
Right.
And one was outspoken and said, I won't let it happen, Lord. He called him Satan right there on the spot.
Yep.
That was Peter.
Yep.
But now that they've got this animal, they put clothes on him so he could sit on him. He's never had another human being sit on him. And never a human being sat on this thing. Jesus sits on him and he's fine.
Yep.
So that don't make sense. Neither does it make sense for Daniel to sit in a den of lions and not one of them open his mouth. But their mouth ain't what I'm worried about. You've got cats. You ain't got to always worry about them things biting you. Have you ever seen a lion tear an animal with one swipe? I've seen him take down a zebra on that National Geographic thing. That's the death blow as soon as he swiped him. He went down and half his blood was gone in one swipe. If a lion swipes you, you got two options. Die or die. People usually don't survive in things.
Right.
So why don't they kill out all the humans in Africa over there where they at? Well, let me ask you what you'd rather eat. A human being or a giraffe?
Yeah.
A human being or a big old rhino?
Yeah.
If I'm the lion, I can do either one. I'm getting the fat one. You don't sit down there with $100 in your pocket talking about, just give me one French fry. No. Get that French fry. Bring that ribeye. Not the fry, but the ribeye.
Right.
And he's sitting here. He tells me, he says, do this. And now they're throwing their clothes in the way for that animal to walk in on. What's your dry cleaning bill like? Did I mention what them things do as they walk? Would you throw your coat down for him? That don't make sense. Exactly. So either God's going to miraculously make that thing not do its business while it's walking on your clothes, or he's going to provide cleaning for it afterwards. Either one I'm fine with, because I know God can take care of it.
Amen.
So they Bible on that? They sure is. I'm going to tell you something else, too. When you're sitting there praying for your loved one that's dying and it don't make any sense to you, you got to look up to heaven and say in Genesis chapter 18, probably about down verse 25, and say, "Will the judge of the earth be right? Lord, I don't know what's going on here to make sense. But Lord, if you want to take them, you know better." Some of you have had to sit at deathbeds before and wonder why things are going on like that. It don't make any sense. But you know the judge of the earth is going to do right.
Right.
You know beyond a shadow of a doubt he'll do right. But another thing, number four, you follow the demonstration of the Lord. All this didn't make sense to another group. It was called the Pharisees. Luke chapter 19 verse 39 says, And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said to him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Why do they want to rebuke? They're shouting. I like all that shouting. Y'all keep quiet. Don't be saying amen to this. Don't be praising the Lord. Don't be acting like your Jesus is real.
Come on.
We want you to act like the frozen chosen, like you bored to death, can't wait out to get out here and eat groceries. We got a big youth meeting coming up tonight. We got to go out and we're going to go out there and play rock and roll and have a good time. We're going to go down to the beach and have a youth trip where the girls be half naked and the boys get them all pregnant. You ever wonder why we don't have them trips? I just gave you the whole reason why. That does make sense. That's why we don't do that. That's obvious sin.
Right.
I learned a very valuable lesson from a man I knew who had a girls' home, boys' home. You can't put them people on the same property.
Yeah.
They'll wind up somebody in the middle meeting one another. Some of the Pharisees had rebuked thy disciples. This is what he says right here. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You got to follow the demonstration of the Lord. He said, if I were to turn around and tell these people to be quiet, everything around here would cry out.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Say, rocks don't shout. They would if we shut up. Did you know this Bible says the earth groans right now because it's waiting for the return of the Creator?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking,
Well, there's earthquakes all around. That's in the Bible. Them earthquakes ain't happened yet. That's Matthew 24. Them ain't happened yet.
Yeah.
But them that's happening now, come quickly, Lord. That's what them things are saying. Say, so what about them other things in volcanoes? You ever wonder why the volcanoes are going off? Because somebody's quiet over there, a little bit too quiet. They got quiet, so them things started praising the Lord. Of course, there's devastation when they praise the Lord. You understand? So what do you got to do to stop that? I'd start shouting if I were you.
Amen.
You better start shouting now. Listen, we have earthquakes in South Carolina now.
Yep.
We didn't have them when I was a kid. Of course, we didn't have an education lottery. It's sin. We didn't have that. We didn't have all these beer joints, tattoo parlors, and all this other stuff, and all these liquor stores. When I was a kid, there was one liquor store, and that was all over town.
Yep. Right.
We didn't have strip clubs here. Now they got them.
Yep.
We didn't have adult bookstores. Now we got them.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, every 2 or 3 weeks, I see a thing on Fox News, Fox Carolina, earthquake in South Carolina. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Listen to this. If you wonder where Jesus stands in all this, when you see the demonstration of the Lord, they went and they took Jesus when he was 12 and went down to the temple. And we went through this back in Luke chapter 2. They got so caught up with the big caravan they was traveling with, they couldn't find him. Now, how you lose a 12-year-old, I can understand why some of you want to lose your 12-year-olds. I get it. Don't look at him, look at me. I can understand sometimes. Girls, I understand why your parents look at you and go, sometimes, I get it. I used to be your age. I was as cantankerous as some of y'all. How'd I know that, wonder? Anyway, I can understand them saying, just get out of here right now and then walk off, come back and they're gone. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
But not with 12-year-old Jesus who minded his parents. But maybe he's just too mindful, and he didn't cause no waves, and they just always thought, looked around and never thought he wouldn't be standing right there. And they looked around, he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
They got to looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did I mention his mother knew for a fact more than you do that he was born of a virgin?
Mm-hmm.
She knew for a fact it was an angel said, you're going to have a child without knowing a man.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it more so than he did.
Right.
And then they go hunt him down. They backtrace their steps all the way to the temple. And there he is with all the doctors and lawyers, confounded him with what he knew of the Bible.
Yeah.
So how did he know all that 12? He wrote it. But wait, there's more. Where have you been? You scared me and your mama and your daddy to death. We don't know where you been. Luke 2:49. Wist ye not that I'd be about my Father's business?
Yeah.
There's our example right there.
Right.
If you come in here to church, listen to me very carefully right here. And I'm not here unless something has really bad happened. There will always be somebody here to fill this pulpit.
Right.
And you best know if I ain't here, God's put me somewhere to preach to somebody.
Amen.
I do not lay out just because I don't feel well.
Right.
Or because I'm tired.
Yep.
Let's say Brandon says, I need you to meet in the morning at 6 o'clock. That's real early to get somewhere, ain't it? 6 o'clock, especially if he lives way over yonder somewhere. Mike says, I got to be in, what's that place you work at down there? What's the name of that place?
Great Falls.
Great Falls. Who even knows where that's on the map? A couple of us know, a couple of us don't. All I know is it ain't close by. I need you to meet there at 5 o'clock in the morning, preacher. Okay. Well, I'm not going to lay out of church tonight, so I'll be there.
Right.
Which is why I can't understand for the life of me, Brother Jason, why people start these public schools and they got to lay out church on Sunday night to get up and be at school by 8 o'clock.
Yep.
I don't get that. I've never understood that. Why ain't going to lay out a church and your child going to school next day to face the devil? Why would you get in my church that night?
Right.
I'm a trying to help you. Now listen to me. If you come in here and I ain't here, I'm going to be about the Father's business. I think I've built up enough trust with you now that you know that, right?
Yep.
So what happens when I come in and you ain't here?
Come on.
You out preaching somewhere? Or, what was it? I got a headache. You ever heard of goody powders? Ibuprofen?
Yep.
Snap back with stand back, baby.
I thought.
Some of y'all remember that commercial. Or was you just out somewhere trying to boogie somewhere and trying to slip around on God?
No.
You ain't following a good example for that. Right. See, the demonstration of the Lord, what he said, we're going to be about the Father's business.
Yeah.
He said, why them disciples, once you make them, they can't. They're about the Father's business. They figured out the direction. They figured out all that stuff. And now they're on the demonstration of the Lord. They're going to do what God said.
Yeah.
See, is the path you're on in life, does it make sense to you? It don't make no sense to me. I don't get it. I mean, I really don't get it. I've never understood the direction God gave in my life when he told me.
Yeah.
Not one time. I'll be praying. The Lord shows me something in his word, says, do this. I'm like, that don't make no sense. But 100% of the time I find out if I just go do it, it don't have to make sense. It makes sense to him and he's giving me clear direction on it. Go do it.
Amen.
Listen to this. One thought that you've got to consider is this, is who put you there on that path you're on. Number one is this. If the Lord has it in his Bible and is established by the Word of God, then it doesn't have to make sense. It has to be followed by faith. Let me define faith for you. Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember 2 plus 2?
Yeah.
If you've never seen it before, it's 4, right? But if you didn't know that, you'd have to add it up the first time. It wouldn't make sense the first time you saw it. You remember first grade? I was in Miss Harvey's class. Everybody brought her apple because she is a sweet woman. Very nice. Here you go, Miss Harvey. Does your children, you homeschool, bring you out there? No, watch this. See, I shot her a look for it. How about you, ladies? Your homeschool? Let me shoot. Look here. Look at her same way. See what I did there? I'm trying to help y'all out. She'd take them apples. She said, we're going to learn how to add today. And she'd put an apple up there. What's 1 plus 1? Well, nobody knew. We'd never heard that before. It was a great mystery. She said, 1 plus 1. Now, how many we got? We knew how to count. We could count to 5 or 10 back then. That's 2. So if we take 2 and we add 2 to it, how many we got? We don't know. There's 2 and 2. How many is that? Oh, that's 4. And we were all amazed. Do you know that's never changed? Never.
Yep.
Well, I heard some liberals say that math... You need to get that crowd out of your life. I don't watch them on any channel, app, radio,
Amen.
TV, YouTube, nothing. I don't care what they got to say.
Amen.
Them people are outright foolish. You know what don't make sense? They really don't make sense ever. And when they found out they don't make sense, they start changing their answers. You tell them they're wrong, they get mad.
Yep.
You can prove them they're wrong, you know what they do? They want to fight. Stupid. Stupid
yep.
stuff. But what I'm getting at is this. If it's not in the Bible, the path that you own, the reason it's not making sense because it's not in the Bible, God has a word for you tonight, and that word is repent. My life's a mess. Why's your life a mess? Who put you there, God? God's put people in a mess before. It didn't make sense to them. They went and did it anyway. Their life's a mess. You know what God does? By the time he gets through with that path, it's turned around. It looks good. But some people put themselves in a mess. Do you know how many people come through this Bible Institute and tell me they called to preach? Say, how many of them are? I'm not sure. I know one thing. I've seen a lot of them come in. They're going to do good. They tell me we're going to do great things and great things and great things. 2 weeks into it, wipe out. Walk away from it like it never bothered them, and God never touched them for it. What'd they do? They only ruined a couple of churches doing that stuff. Ruined them. One of them shut down tonight. Why did it shut down? Because somebody was where they wasn't supposed to be. They put themselves in a mess. You have got to understand, God puts you someplace that don't make sense. That's okay. You got clear Bible for it. Go for it. Go do it. Go headlong into it. Believe God even when it don't make sense. But there's a catch. Let's look over at Psalm 119. Here's the craziest thing you'll see in the Bible tonight. The longest chapter in the Bible is about the Bible. So I don't get that. I don't either. But somehow it worked out that way, didn't it? Look at verse 133. This is what you're looking for tonight. You've been looking for a word tonight. Here's your word tonight. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. How's God order your steps again? Right there. God told me. What did he tell you at? He come to me in a dream. That ain't God. The Bible said in Hebrews 1, he don't speak like that anymore. Why? He's got a completed volume right here. Well, this man looked at me and prophesied over me. You better watch that crowd. They'll send you out a tree. The tree limb they'll never climb. Oh, well, I asked God to tell me if something was real or not. And I said, Lord, if that's real, you have this bird land on the thing while I'm washing dishes right here. Here come her. There you come right there. I knew it was God's will. That ain't God's will. So how you know that God's will? Because I find way too many birds and trees over here, and them birds always represent them devils. Go see the parable of the mustard seed here. Go see that thing in Revelation where them birds coming in feasting on them people. Well, what about I put a fleece out before God and asked him to just like Gideon did. That's not a move of faith. That's a move of doubt. God didn't have a completed book to hand Gideon to guide him with, but he gave you one. And here's something else he's done for you that 2/3 of your Bible they didn't have. After Acts chapter 2, God saves somebody, he seals them by the Holy Spirit. That means he's never gone from you. You got that inside you. You got this book before you. You got heaven speaking to you through the book. Lord, will you order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me? That's what you ask him right there. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we do love you tonight.